And the Lord said to me, I'm now willing to put myself on the altar, and that I will be the only speaker at the next summer conference. And to me, that was very difficult because it's a lot of work. And but I never declined the Lord's request. And so I said yes to the Lord. And when I shared this with my colleagues, they all said that they agree with me. And we know that the tide of the Holy Spirit is rising among us. And sometimes we worship for an hour and a half, and it seems like we are not enough. And at the time, because we have sometimes have to stop the worship, to cut it short so that the outside speakers can speak. But we know that the Lord works wonderfully during the worship service. And we know that many have been healed, and their broken hearts were healed. And it's like a sister one time shared with me, said there were many people up front. The Lord asked her to go up front. She said that it's a lot, many people crowded, and she obeyed the Lord and went. Even though there's a lot of bitterness and hurt in her family, there are difficult times to her family. But when she came up front, she came to a place that, that she's the only one, and we're there with Jesus in the beautiful garden. So when she came up front, it's just like she and Jesus there together. There's no one else there. And she so enjoyed that. And she discovered that not very long after, the announcement said they need to go back to your chair. And she said, Pastor Grace, can we lengthen the worship service? So I believe that it is the God's guidance. Today, this beginning of this year, and as we are trying to prepare the registration form for the Sunday, for the Saturday, for the summer conference, someone asked, should we invite Pastor Mike Bickle? And if we invite Mike Bickle, at least I can shorten my sermons to will be shortened by 2 days. And Mike Bickle originally agreed, and after a while he said he cannot come. Because during our Sunday, our summer conference is the time when they will be dedicating their new hub and boat building. And so I could not say any more. And I tried to find a shortcut to go bypass door, but the Lord shut the door. And what the Lord has determined to accomplish, He will do. And so whatever the Lord did not allow, He will not cause it to happen. And we also invited, invited Rick Joyner, and he said that he is, it's a sabbatical. And so he cannot come either. So I just have to honestly obey the Lord. And I myself feel like if there's some other pastor come, it would be so good, but God did not allow it. So I just offer myself on the altar, and I do believe that in this summer conference, God will do His glorious work among us. And brothers and sisters would also learn how to freely follow the Holy Spirit and not come to the meetings just to hear a sermon. In the meetings, the most important thing is to encounter the Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit may, that He would reveal Jesus Christ inside of us, that His bountifulness, His richness of heaven may be done unto us. And many times in a religious rituals, we become a habitual, and then we think that to come to a meeting is to just hear the message. But in the meeting, the most important thing is to encounter this wonderful Lord Jesus. I believe that Lord will do a wonderful and glorious work this summer conference as we learn to follow the Holy Spirit. And these days we have been speaking about the old wineskins changed to new wineskins. And then I seek the Lord to ask Him if I need to speak a different message for this Mother's Day. And the Lord said to me, continue speaking on the old wineskin and the new wineskin, but it would be a special message for those moms among us. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Here it says, Christ became cursed for us because he was hung on the tree. The Lord Jesus died on the cross. He became the curse. He became the curse for us. And therefore, he was hung on the cross. And that we are, therefore, we are free from the curse of the law. What the salvation that Jesus accomplished on the cross, not only to save us from the curse of sin. So one who believes in Jesus, you are no longer under the curse. You do not need to fear whether or that if you are which day the wedding day needs to be a special day, or whether you are pregnant, then you cannot attend any joyful festival. It's like a superstition in Taiwan, or like a door you cannot rush into, and the house cannot be at the intersection of a road. So men are always under the curse. Many tribes of the world are living under the fear of being cursed, and so they need to use many different ways to prevent curses. But in the Bible it says very clearly that Jesus on the cross, he became our curse, so that we may no longer have to live under the curse, and we're no longer afraid of others' curses, because we're no longer under the curse. And not only Jesus redeemed us from the curse, and not only that, but also that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, which is us. Now, how can the blessing of Abraham come to us? It is by faith that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So first we want to say, Abraham's blessing, how does it come to us? It says it's through the coming of the Holy Spirit. It comes and lives in us, and that will bring us the blessing of Abraham. But first let us see, what is the blessing of Abraham? It is in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He says that God called him from Ur in the land of the Chaldeans, and to come out is not for him to suffer. At the time, he had to leave his own people, their own tribe, and his own country may be suffering, but rather what God wants to leave him, cause him to call him out, is to bless him. Just like the time when I had to leave Taiwan to come to the U.S., it seemed like my family and my friends, they all said that it is a suffering. But rather, it's really truly that God wants to bless me. And same with Abraham. God called him out from his father's house, out from his own country. And I want you to become a great nation. He said this country, this nation would cause that everyone would be blessed through you. And that this nation would be the one that blesses all the peoples of the earth. Not only that, people will be blessed, but all the nations on the earth will be blessed through you. Brothers and sisters, do you know that when you receive Jesus and Jesus lives in you, not only you are free from the curse, but also you can be one who can bless others. You are the citizen of a nation that blesses all other people. And a nation that blesses everyone else, all the other nations of the earth. So Christians, we are the citizens of heaven. And the citizens of the heaven have one characteristic. They are those who blesses others. Your family became Christians through you, therefore your family is blessed. And because you are a Christian, your office will be blessed. Every place you are, that place will be blessed. Brothers and sisters, have you experienced this? This is our identity. And I myself experienced this. And then my parents were mad at me, and because I became a Christian, that my ancestors would lose their faith. But last year, my father became a Christian, he said. And she said to me that our whole family is blessed because of you. And I asked him why. Oh, because my sister-in-law and my mother, they are in harmony. And my brother and his wife is in harmony. Because of believing in Jesus, my brother and sister, they were some happiness between them. And now, and for a long time. But now, because they have believed in Jesus, they have been blessed. And they are in harmony. And so my father counted all the blessing. He said, this and this is already in harmony, that and that is in harmony. And he said, the whole family is blessed because we believe in Jesus. And so, and my father said to me that you are the head of our family. Now you are the head of our class. And every time when I go home, my father said, the head of the class is at home, is coming home. So whatever place we are, our families are blessed through us. Even though in the short term we can't see, but long term you will see. Our whole family will be blessed by us, through us. And there are many other things I won't say. In other place, I went to work, and that family and that company was blessed by me. And just like our sister Rosa, because she reveres the Lord, the whole factory is blessed. Even though her manager persecuted her, but he knows that every time that whenever Rosa prays, then the whole factory will be blessed. She led many colleagues at her work to Jesus, and God blessed her factory. Even in the economic down times, God brought business to them. Do you know, brothers and sisters, this all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through us. So we should know, a Christian is not a weak and a poor person. God led us into His kingdom so that we can become blessings to others. So first we have to know, first we have to think of our families. And today is Mother's Day. We have to think, are our children blessed by us? Do we often bless them? Do we always think that, I thank the Lord for giving me such lovely children? Have you ever said to your child, and said, Mom, Mama loves you. Mama, thank Jesus for giving me such a sweet angel to me. Have you ever said this to your children? Or you always thought that, oh, you are useless, you are good for nothing. You never accomplish much. Or you say, why can't you do something useful? You know, these words are cursing your children. We may not know, but because we Chinese, our ancestors had suffered much, and there were always wars, and there were always refugees and escaping and running. And then in the wartime, how can you, you're a refugee running away, how can you bless others? Especially as Chinese, we cannot bless others. And then America, when you sneeze, they will say, God bless you. But we don't feel comfortable saying that. It's not our habit. And if you sneeze, it's just that. So we don't say anything. So this, our Chinese race, is not a race that can say words of blessing. because our parents are always complaining that the life is difficulty, and then we bore you in suffering, and we have to work so hard to make money to provide you a living. And many people are nodding their heads. And you know, every family, Chinese family, is saying these things. Most of them are saying these things. So generation to generation, we pass this down. We are sighing and complaining, and I'm working so hard to make money for you. And so you need to study well. You have to study, have good grades. You know that later when I'm old, you need to help me and provide me with a living. So this brings pressure. A young child cannot handle the pressure. You don't tell them that the economy is very bad, or that there is a tense relationship between you and your wife, and that this will only hurt your child. They cannot handle this kind of pressure. And many of us are just first-time parents. Even though you have 9 children, you're still learning. Only when the children have grown up, you still do not know. But you do not know how many cursing words you have given your children. Like a brother, he said, he grew up in a Christian home. His parents loved him very much, and his elder brother was very good to him. But in his elementary school, his teacher said to him, and his teacher used negative words to encourage him. The teacher said, you can be better than what you are doing now. I remember your brother, when he was in my class, he was so outstanding. I know that you can do better. So this brother heard these words when he was in elementary school, and so he felt that he is a failure, and did not encourage him to work harder, but rather he felt that he is a failure, that his brother is the outstanding one and he's a failure. So he felt very sad. Even though the intention of the sister is very good to encourage him, I thought your brother is so outstanding, so you can be outstanding too if you work harder. But these words only bring him depression, and he gave and demotivated him. So he and then he made up his mind to become an ordinary person, an average person. So as a result, his schoolwork is just average. And he's always in the middle. He's like halfway from the bottom and halfway from the top. So even though his parents and family love him, but by the words of this teacher, even though teacher loves him, but through this type of words to him, cause him hurt. He said that until he was 15, he became a Christian, and his youth pastor and had the full of faith in him, and full of the youth pastor looked at him with eyes of blessing. And through the youth pastor and through reading the words of God, he came to realize what how God looks at him, what his position is in Christ, and that he was able to be free from the curse of his elementary school teacher. And I thought to myself, I too have done this kind of wrong. I said, why? Because our previous generation also did that to us. In my, I am a rational person, and when the teacher, I remember my teacher in fifth grade or sixth grade said to me, and when you read, you should have your books 30 centimeters away from your eyes. So every time in the future when I read the book, when I read my books, I always measure that it's at least 30 centimeters. And every time when I get too close, I try to measure again to keep it 30 centimeters from my eyes. And I was blessed because until now I don't need to wear glasses. And as a result, whenever whatever is good, whatever I heard that makes sense to me and that is good, I completely accept it. For example, I heard that Martina said that when she was young, when she took a medicine and all that, she would just throw it away. And I said, why? My mom brought me to the doctor. And then my doctor said that after the meal, half an hour, then you can take your take the white packet, and half an hour before the meal, you take the red packet, and whatever the coughing medicine, I would take it myself. My parents would never feed me. Whatever the doctor said, and I would do according to the instructions and take the medicine at the proper time, the right dose. And then I discovered that such people are very few. And I discovered that many people take the medicine because the mom would have to force them to take the medicine. Otherwise, they would throw away the medicine away. But for me, you know, when I'm sick, I want my temperature, fever to go down, and I want my coughing to go away. This is my character. Whatever is good, I would take it. Even though the meal is not good, but it's good for my health, I would take it. So therefore, when I became a pastor, my sermons, I would clearly speak the words of God so that brothers and sisters can know what is good and what is bad. And so brothers and sisters can choose what to do, the good. And then I discovered that everyone grew up in different families, and they all came from different backgrounds. So I discovered that maybe this type of teaching, some may feel that they cannot take this in. They cannot, it does not feed them. And so they cannot do it. And since they cannot do it, they become depressed. So this year, in the beginning of the year, and the God through our harp and bowl worship, dancing and singing before Him, and the singing of His love and the singing of His will, and then that His will may be more in us. So this year is the time I danced the most before the Lord. I've forgotten completely myself, and I discovered that when I'm dancing and singing before the Lord, I discover a lot of the dust and a lot of the bondage that's on me have been sloughed off, and slowly they have sloughed off from me. And so therefore, and I have tasted more of the love of God, and I'm more free before Him. So today, and I want to say to all the moms among us, and all the parents among us, and all the house group leaders, that through to this year's Mother's Day, that we can meditate and think upon the Lord, our God who loves to bless us, that we may be free from the old wineskins of our ancestors. And this old wineskin is just maybe like the teacher's words for the students' good. He said that if you can study hard, you can be like your brother. But what this brought was comparison, and it's not encouragement. And this is something we all need to learn together. I feel very few Chinese grow up that have not been hurt. It may be there are some, but it will be very rare. Because this is our habit of speaking. And for the good of a child, we will say, you need to do this, you need to do that. Just like Moses on the mountain. And then on Mount Ebal, he said, if you do this according to the law, you will be blessed. And if you do not do according to these rules and laws, you will be cursed. And I feel, and sometimes I myself will also do the same. And when the message I preach is very clear, but I discovered that maybe we need to use the more positive, encouraging words to speak to brothers and sisters, so that brothers and sisters may receive more help. So I hope, and my desire is that we can put off this old wineskin and to put on the new wineskin of blessing others, of positive and proactive wineskin. And recently in our meeting in the morning at waiting upon the Lord at between 9 and 9:30, a mother brought her child along, and the mother was waiting upon the Lord by herself, but her child was behind her doing her homework. And our preacher Rebecca went to the bathroom and passed by, and saw the child was fidgeting. And so Rebecca said to him, I want to tell you something. I love you. I like you so much. Do you know? I like you to become like a piece of candy, and I can put you in my pocket. And whenever I think of you, I would put my hand in my pocket and touch the candy. And then if I think of you more, then I would take you out from my pocket and put you in my mouth and taste your sweetness. And is that good? And the child said, yes, yes, it's good. And then he's full of thinking of himself as a candy. And so Rebecca went to the bathroom. And when she came back from the restroom and passed by and saw that the child is so sweetly waiting upon the Lord by himself. So you see, every one of us needs to be loved, to be praised, needs to be praised and be encouraged by others, and to be blessed. And so this this quietness in this child is dissipated. So we need every parent in the home to bless your child every day. And maybe before bedtime, you can bless your child. Or some people do it twice before they go to school, or they do it before bed. Others would bless the children on special holidays or special days like Christmas, on the birthdays, or Thanksgiving. They would bless the children. That's okay. Every one of them is okay. But if you bless your child every day, that's even better. And how do you bless your child? Let us read some scriptures. In Numbers chapter 6, and every one of you can record this down. Not just the parents, or bless the children, and the husband can bless your wife, and the brother can bless your brothers and sisters. Same with the sister. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And so these words of blessings are so good. A child, since he was young, every day before he goes to bed, he's been blessed by the parent. And with a sincere heart, you bless your child, that the Lord will be gracious upon you, may his face shine upon you, and this child will feel security. I read of American families, when the parents bless their children this way, these children grow up healthy, and they acknowledge that through the parents blessing them every day, they feel the presence of God and feel the grace of God and the God's blessing upon them. And this child is always feel very secure because they know the protection of the Lord. And so when they sleep, they do not have nightmares. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So as you bless your child, you say that may fill your heart. And God wants to fill your heart with joy and peace. And this verse, you can use this verse when the child is a little bit older. Next is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23-24. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul be body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Verse 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I think that this verse will be best used if your child is reached teenage years. That God would sanctify you through and through. And the children become teenagers when they become 10 years old. Next is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is also a very good words of blessing. And during your home worship, and when you're praying for your child, and when you're praying with your children is one thing, but the blessing is a different matter. And these verses are rather short. And when you read the Bible, and as you're reading, and the words of blessing, you can use those words in the Bible to bless your children. And some families, since the child were young, you can use the same words to bless your children. And when you bless them with this, the children will feel loved, they will feel protected, and they will feel secure, and they have self-confidence. Also, when do you start to bless your children? Whenever your child knows, understands, and words, you can bless them. The earlier, the better. It may be that they do not understand Mandarin yet, but when you say these words of blessing to them, the spirit can feel the blessing. And the children will feel blessing and love. And a couple, the children already gone to university, and every day they will call home, and they want their father to bless them. And other than speaking and talking with their father, they wanted their father to bless them because they feel loved by that. And this is something we Chinese need to learn. But what our ancestors passed to us through our growing up and what we have received is curse, not blessing. For example, the parents would say that you are a dummy or you are dumb or stupid, and these are curses. Let us read a passage in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother Raka is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Here it says Raka. What does it mean? It means that you're useless. And if you say someone is a fool, then you are in danger of the fire of hell. So you need to be careful. So a person, since he's young, has been rebuked by the father to be a fool. Even though at the time he is very angry, but when he grows up and becomes a father, he would curse his children the same way. And this is the curse that we inherit from our ancestors. And this brings great harm and curse. A sister said one time, her father said that her father always said these things to her when she was growing up. And so this become her curse that's always on her. Until she felt like she cannot do anything because she thinks that she is full. And when you've been scolded all your life like this, so when you grow up, in all matters, you will use these words to condemn yourself. And when everything you do this thing, when you've done something wrong, you said, oh, I'm such a dummy, I'm so dumb, I'm so stupid. And then when you've done something wrong or you fail, you say, oh, I'm truly useless, I'm good for nothing. And so the curse is always on this person. And how did this sister escape, be free from this? It's just that later this sister married a very good brother, and this brother helped her and praised her, and she also has a very good friends continue to praise her, that she is a woman of wisdom and the most wise sister. And through all this praise, that she was free from this bondage of the curse. Brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention. Do not casually, during our times when we are unhappy, or when you're teaching your child so many times and they still do not learn, you said that you are a dummy. And these words, these type of language, God says that it's a curse to your children. But many parents, it's very difficult that during the day, it's difficult not to get angry, that I can hold my words such that I don't have any words that would hurt my children. And you interact with your children for, you know, so often, and how can you not say any words, prevent any words that would harm them, especially when you're so busy. And sometimes you're not careful, you're not living in the love of God. And when you're unhappy and when you're agitated, you would say words that would harm your child. What would you do? And quickly go and mend it. Whenever you've done something wrong, go and ask your child for forgiveness. And then pray for your child in the positive way. For example, and then the child said something, did something wrong, he said, how come you're so dumb? You can so dumb. And immediately the Lord convicts you and he said, child, I'm sorry. Mom should not have done that. Mom was wrong. Please forgive mommy. Are you willing to forgive mommy? He's willing to say, if they say, willing to forgive mommy, and you will hug the child, embrace the child. He said, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me such a lovely child. He's not dumb. He given him the best brain. And you are his wisdom and his knowledge. And Lord, you want to bless him and bless everything his hands do. And you will bless the work of his hands. Like this curse will quickly be sloughed off from the child, and that this will not become a curse to him. But you say that I've already said so many words of curse on my to my child. What can you do? There is a way. Go back to your child, go home and to your child, said that acknowledge your wrong before your child and said that, Mommy, forgive Mommy. Mommy has said all these words of curse to you. Are you willing to forgive Mommy? If your child are still young, and do according to what I just said to you. Bless them in the positive ways. For example, say, Lord, thank you for giving me the smartest child. And the Lord, you need to bless him, that you will bless the work of his hands, that everything that he does will be successful. But if the child doesn't know how, is too young, doesn't know how to pray, you do this. But if your child is old and already understands, and started to study and going to school, you need to ask your child. He said, Child, did Mom say anything that hurt you? And if he said that, yes, this and this and that, you cannot get angry. You cannot say that that has happened a long time ago, you still remember it. And how can you remember wrongs for so long? You should not say anything back to him. Otherwise, the child will withdraw and they will not be healed. And whenever the child responds, you just listen carefully. And you say to the child, you say, Mommy, and the mommy said these words have truly hurt you. Can you forgive Mommy? And you say to her, send to the child, said, and what your mommy's meaning was, what his intention was, but I was agitated, I was not at peace, and so I was moody, I was unhappy, and therefore I said these words that hurt you. Are you willing to forgive Mommy? And then bless your child. And when you bless your child, every night before going to bed, you can embrace your child and bless your child and lay your hands on the child's head. And let the child feel like that he's been accepted and loved. And also feel God's, in the eyes of God, he is honored and precious. And also the parents love them. And the words that we speak to them will become the words of affirmation to the child. So, brothers and sisters, we need to get rid of the old wineskins that was passed down from our ancestors, that we like to speak the negative words. Recently, a sister said to me, she said, several years ago, she came to our church. After a few months, she said that at that time, she was very depressed. She said that she easily got depressed. So one day, I all of a sudden said to her, do you know, you are a warrior. You are a warrior. And she said that every time when she gets depressed or when she gets moody or sad, she thought of this words I said to her, that I am a warrior. And that would cause us to rise up. She said that, and so I asked her, what is your mom like? She said that my mom never praised me, and my mom never said anything bad to me, but my mom and dad are ordinary people, and they always admire the people who are very capable. And my mom will always say, oh, such a person is very capable, a very good student. And so she believed these words, and she felt herself is very incapable. So, parent, why the Bible says, let's read the Bible in Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 21, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The words of God are not wrong. He says that the power of life and death is on our tongue. The words that you say to your child will cause the child to be made alive, or you will cause them death. And he says, those who love it will eat its fruit. And that is to say, if you love to bless, then you will discover that you will eat the fruit of blessing. And the fruits that you receive will be blessing. And this child will become your blessing in the future. But if you love, demand the child, or put down the child, then this child will be cursed. And you will eat of that fruit. And then in the future, it will become your curse. So brothers and sisters, our words are very important. In the Bible says, we need to bless others. We are to bless others. God says that we are to receive the blessing of Abraham, that we can become a nation that blesses the peoples of the earth. And how is this done? It is through the Holy Spirit. And by faith you can receive the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit came to bless us. And He is the comforter. He is to protect us and comfort us. And that He is also our intercessor. And He's like a lawyer, interceding for us, arguing for us, defending us. And whoever accuses us, and the Holy Spirit will say, defend us. He is like this. So what we need to do is to come and taste of the love that has been poured out to us by the Holy Spirit from Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to mold us into one who is blessed by God and to become a person who can bless others. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. But what has been passed down from our ancestors, the works of our vainness, and the many things we do, our children are hurt. And you know what is blessing? Blessing is that the blessing of God may come on this person. And many times it's through our praise, through our boasting. And what is the opposite of blessing? It's curse. What is curse? That is a put down. To a rebuke. That is curse. So we must pay attention. Do not put down your child. When you are rational, you will not do that. But when we are aroused and get mad, or when we are unhappy and we're moody, we will say that to our children and use the same words that our parents rebuked us with, and we would say the same words to our children, that you're useless. How come you can be like your brother? Can't you see? Certain families, the children never does kind of things. How come you can do these things? And do you often compare your child with others? Certain persons, aunties, the children are so good, and how come they never do such things? How come you do these things? And if you say these things, they will feel like they are a failure. And they are always being oppressed. And they can never be as good as the other person. Such a person, when they grow up, you will discover that they are their worst enemy. They are their worst own enemy. And before they become successful, they already destroy themselves, because they feel like they can never be successful, because they are always in defeat. Such a person, they are very afraid to carry responsibilities, to take on responsibilities. If we often bless our child and praise them, such a child that grew up in that environment, whenever the teacher asks them to do something, they feel like it's an honor. Like before, when I was in the elementary school and they want me to become the assistant. And before the school is out, he would ask me to do And the write things on the blackboard, the arithmetic problems to write on the blackboard. And then, so I become the teacher's assistant. And every day I go to school with joy because I wanted, I love to be the teacher's assistant. So every day I go to school, I was very happy because my parents never care about our homework. And they will never say, how come you're so lazy? How come you're not doing your homework? How come you're watching TV? They never watch over us. And if you do not study well, then you can always go sell chickens. They will never care about our schoolwork. And so we study ourselves. And under no pressure, we grew up. But I discovered that in North America, the parents and the parents in the North America are very accomplished. And so they want their parents, they want their children to be successful. So they, you know, put a lot of pressure on their children. They have to swim well, they have to play the piano well, they have to study well. And every day they, you know, rush them here, rush them there to learn this and that. And the children are always under pressure. And then when we were young, we watched TV and then got tired. And so we... And we have very few hurts. And I saw my parents are scolding and rebuking my brothers and sisters. But I myself were rebuked a very few times. But yet I was not also blessed. Because our family are not in the habit of saying, I love you. And the parents never said that to me. And our parents never said thank you to us either. And we feel embarrassed to say thank you to our parents also. So we grew up in this kind of family. But in God, God's love to us is full of passion. Francis, do you know? God is a God full of warmth and passion and fire and full of joy. So whenever he sees, they said that, oh, you are my precious child. You are so lovely. So God says that you are most beautiful. You are so lovely. And in the beginning, we cannot accept that. And so same with me. For a long time, I cannot accept that. When no one else has said that you are truly, fully beautiful and lovely to me. And it seems like, you know, we get goosebumps when someone says that to us. Because we did not grow up in an environment of blessing. Our parents' demands to us is that if you do well, I'll give you $100. If your schoolwork is good, I give you $100. If your schoolwork is no good, then you get nothing. If you're good, you get reward. If you're not good, you are not loved. If you do not do according to mom, then you will believe in Jesus, then you will be scolded and you'll be beaten. So we grew up in this type of family. But in the eyes of God, He loves us to the point of death. And He will use His love to encourage us, to praise us, and then to build us up. And so we need to put on this type of new wineskin to treat our next generation. So many among the Chinese families, very habitually they will compare against their older brother, or they, and then so that they would feel like to cause them to feel like they are very bad, or you ask them to do something, and you will analyze the matter to them, and tell them that if you cause them to feel like that, if they do not do that, then they will feel miserable. Or that if the child and the parents want the child to do something and the child said, I don't want to do this, and you feel that, how can you hurt such a mom who loves you, and you hurt mom's heart, And so the child would not even dare to say no anymore. And such a child, you would discover that when they grow up, because they cannot say no to the parents, even though the parents were not very severe, they just say, or say, shut up, you cannot say such no to the parents. You need to obey your parents and use your authority to oppress the child. Or the other type is to use the other kind, to use emotions, to use the guilt feeling, to guilty feel, let the child feel guilty. And so the child will always say yes, yes. And so when this child grows up, they will always be very shallow. Even though on the outside they're very happy on the outside, but inside they don't have a submissive spirit. And there are a lot of moody spirit in them. On the outside they will be very good, but inside they are always in opposition. They are unhappy inside. And I come to the church, I discovered that some people, that they obey, and whenever the pastor says something, they always say yes, yes. And I'm very afraid that the people to always obedient to me. And we are free. If you have any opinion, you can say them out. I like that. God wants us to be like that also. Not like a person, whatever the pulpit says, and you say yes and obey. But yet inside you're unhappy. And then I'm forced to do this. God does not like this kind of obedience. That is not obedience at all. And that is called not having a submissive spirit at all. And what God wants is a willingness. Because you love me, and therefore you tell me this, and therefore I'm willingly to accept and receive this type of request. And what God wants is this type of willingness to obey. But because of the teaching of our parents, and this would cause a lot of this yoke of the slave, and do not have the freedom of the Son of God. I hope that today we can put on this new wineskin and enjoy we grow, enjoy we receive love. And if you have any opinion that's opposing, you can come and say, allow your children to have the freedom to say no, and to understand why they do not like, and do not force your will upon them, what you think is good, especially as the children grow up. When the children are very young, when they are 1, 2, or 3 years old, and like Galatians said that when the children are young, they need to be under the master. And as they grow old, you give them the authority and the power to say no. And you need to listen to them, why they do not like or why do not want to do. And recently a sister called me. She said that she grew up in the Christian family. And this sister in a different place, in another part of the country, I led her. Her mother, when she was young, when she wanted to explain clearly to her mother, and that she would be a little bit excited, her mother would say, how can you talk back to your mom? And that is a sin. And she was pressed down. And then because of this, and her heart becomes hard and becomes like a stone. And she's afraid, never likes to listen to messages of confession and repentance because of her mom always saying that. And she did not like to listen and to this type of messages, did not like to think about it. And every time she listened to messages of confession and repentance, she did not like to listen to it. And but in the families that are not Christians, when they listen to messages of confession and repentance, they freely confess. But in Christian families, children are not like this. So do not use the words of the Bible to condemn your children. Your children are lovely in your eyes. You must see them this way. and do not guess what their motivations are. Otherwise, you will cause them that the child will feel like they are very bad. So pay attention to this. Especially do not misunderstand your child. And whatever the negative things, we give them as little names like little fatty or fatty boy or fatty girl, and as they grow up, and they will feel uncomfortable about their own bodies, and feel bad about their own bodies, or sometimes we would say, we call them sloppy, little sloppy. And we give them nicknames, even though we think they are lovely or cute, but as they grow up, they will feel like, and they will feel like in this particular aspect, they are very backward and awkward, and therefore they cannot accept themselves in that area. So do not give them bad nicknames. And if you have such nicknames for your children, change them all around. Give them good names. Rebecca, one time, she went during the hopping ball. Before the hopping ball, she went upstairs and saw a little girl was crying out very loud. And why was she crying? And because she got mad, because her little brother got her very mad. And so Rebecca said to her, "Are you very sad?" She said, "Yes, I'm very sad." "Are you hurt?" She said, "Yes, I am hurt." He said, "Are you very mad at your little brother?" He said, "Yes, I am." And she said next to her, "But you still love your little brother, right?" And the little girl talked for a long time. She said, "Yes." And so Rebecca said to her, "I tell you one thing, you must remember, I love you very much. I like you very much. You must remember, okay? I love you very much, okay? Is this okay?" And then she kissed her and she said, "Okay." And she stopped crying. And I felt that every child needs our blessing. How they need our blessing. How they need to hear the words of sweet words. But what's passed down from our ancestors, we easily say to them, "Why are you crying? Did your little brother bully you? And who is right and who is wrong?" Very easily we would use the method of analyzing the matter and become a judge. But what you really need is love and understanding. So you go and love and understand them, and then the emotions will be at peace and settle down, and they'll be no longer a big deal anymore. Brothers, have you discovered that a few years ago we speak about how to raise your children, and the parents listening to that tape now, our children are becoming very obedient, but our children are not lively, they are not happy. So later on, I spoke about how to love your children, but I do not know how many parents followed what was preached in that tape series to see our children through the eyes of God. And you yourself said that I myself did not receive these words from God and never received these words of encouragement. How can I encourage my children? I encourage you to come to our hopping bowl. And the words that God gave us, will give us, and during heaven bowl worship, He will give us the spirit of joy, and His words of sweetness will come upon us, and then you would have this words of encouragement to say to your children and build up our children. Many times we have the negative aspects of disciplining our children, and the children become sad, and when they become teenagers, they become rebellious. Because they did not receive blessings. You see, God called Abraham out. And Abraham just obediently carried his cross and came out. No, God first blessed him. So God blessed him. So do we often bless our children? That they are lovely. And you often say to them, say, I thank the Lord for giving me such wonderful child, and I'm proud of you. And happy and joyful because I have you as my child. Many times you may not say anything, but you are sighing and you're frowning, and the child will know that they are like bad children. And you are patient with them, you're holding, but your behavior shows that you are cursing the child. And the child will feel like, I'm such a bad child. I'm always causing my parents to be angry. I'm a bad child. And the child would set that in their mind that they are a bad child. But if a child is being appreciated and loved, and there are many good things that would be developed in the child. So that child, that brother that was 15 years old, when he became a Christian and was assured and built up in the Word of God, you know, this brother, he said that later on, his potential was developed, and then his talents were fully developed and became one who blessed many people. Just like the sister I said to you, that you are a warrior. Do you know that? You know this sister? This sister became a blessing to many people. She led the small house group very good, very well, and she is a prayer warrior. And her prayer and her worship many times brought down blessings. So brothers and sisters, what we have received from our parents, we feel like we are not going to be successful, or that we are useless, not much good. But today, I want to tell you a good news. Jesus said, He has become cursed for you. And not only that, He wants you to receive the blessing of Abraham. And that is by faith, to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to bless you. And how can the Holy Spirit bless you? By your singing and by your praise. The more you rise up to praise and sing before Him and dance before Him, the Spirit of God would come upon you much easier. You know that when you dance, it will shake off a lot of the bondage from our parents. You know that just dance, you would shake it off, but you dance often, and then you become like a child, and you would enjoy and taste of the joy of the Holy Spirit. But we, this race, do not like to sing and do not like to dance. We do not know how to enjoy life, and therefore we do not know how to bless others. We need, these are old wineskins. We need to get rid of these old wineskins. We want to use more eyes of appreciation to see our family members. Like Martina, when she went to lead the youth group, she felt that the youth groups are so obedient, even though they sometimes do not pay attention, but they can sit there for an hour. She said that it's so difficult for them to do that. You see, this is such a person who has received God's love, and they see others in the positive light, and how much we need to be filled by the love of God. You know, several years ago, you asked Martina to teach a youth. It was not possible. She would get angry with the children. Every time before she heard of the youth, she was afraid. But now she's been filled by the Holy Spirit and by the love of God. She said that the youth is so obedient, so good. Even though they do not obey or pay attention, that doesn't mean that they are not good. And because sometimes my preaching is not exciting, so that's why they are not paying attention. But she felt like the children are so good that they can stay there and sit there for an hour. So every one of us, the house group leaders, we need to see our sheep, the people in the house group, that they are so lovely, that Christ Jesus in them is so glorious, and by our blessing, and that the bondage from the parents, the imprisonment things that they have from the parents, that they may be released from that, and that the glory and beauty that God created them to be would be manifested out. But if you want to become one to bless others, there's one thing that's very important. First, we need to, the things since we were young till now, the things that hold us in bondage, the curses, we need to get rid of them. We must rid of them. Rid them of the bondages from our young till now. We need to get rid of them. I do not know. You may say, I do not know what curses I have. You can ask the Lord. You say, Lord, what are the curses that becomes my burdens? If you feel that you don't have security, if people look at you and there's different way, you say that, oh, what did I do wrong? It may be that when you were young, people have said something about you that you are too short or you're too fat or something. And if people say anything, you feel like you are uncomfortable. Maybe from your teacher, from your parents, or maybe from relatives or friends, maybe words from them that become a bondage and become a curse. You must bring them before God. For example, somebody said that we were dummies. You come before the Lord. You said, Lord Jesus, by the name of Jesus, by the precious blood of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of being a dummy. I do not want to accept the judgment of a dummy. Lord, I do not want to accept this judgment. Lord, you created me. You gave me a good brain and mind. Because when you created me, you said that every part of me is good. When God created us, he said every part of it is good. God, when you created me, it was beautiful. You said that I am beautiful and lovely. So I rebuke the curse of being called a dummy out of me. I want to receive your love. In your eyes, I am full of wisdom and the knowledge. Because fearing the God, the fear of the God is the beginning of wisdom. And I have wisdom and the knowledge. You must pray this before the Lord so that you can escape these things, curses. If it is your child, you need to go pray for your child. And in this way, in the Lord, we become a blessed person and the one who can bless others. This is my burden today, that in the year 2000 on Mother's Day, that our whole church, we would slough off the negative words from that we learned from our ancestors, and that we have been picked on before, and then that we always see others in a negative light, and then the words of accusations for others that may become words of blessing for everyone. Let us sing this hymn, that his blessings has not ended, and this God came to die for us so that we can be blessed. The purpose of his death, so that forever we will be blessed, and all the blessings of Abraham will be ours, and that all nations and peoples will be blessed by us and through us. And you know that in the Bible, many times, there are 700 passages in the Bible speaking about blessing. You see how God loves to bless us and how he loves us to bless others. So we must receive more of God's blessings so that we can bless others. Let us rise and sing. Let us sing this with joy and happiness. I have tried to count his blessings. I fail to understand why the Lord should so richly reward. Lord. Could I shoot the stars of heaven, add to them as grains of sand, still his blessings are more. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. And the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Blessings now he's still bestowing, and my cup of gladness overflowing, and the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you know that there was a young mother, she just had the child several months ago. Recently she said she discovered that her child is always frowning. So later on, she and her husband look upon the Lord as the Lord, and the Lord showed them that this couple is not happy enough. So brothers and sisters, we want to become a blessing to our children, so we need to be more joyful. So through the joy and bold worship, I discovered that many parents are more happy. They dance freely. But when I go to the Sunday school, but the children are like a little old men, a little old women. They do not know how to jump up. They do not know how to dance. They are so stagnant. Why? Because very few parents at home would dance and jump and praise the Lord. And when people get married, they hardly laugh and dance. You know, I did something, so you need to do. How come always I'm always doing it and you never do anything? So we need to bless more. And what kind of person can bless others? You must be full of joy. So you want to receive the blessing of Abraham. So the Holy Spirit came. So the more released and more relaxed, so that all the blessings of heaven can be given unto you. And here he says that if you can count the stars of the heaven or the earth's grains of sand, how many they are, and you discover that God's blessing is more than all of these, more than the sands of the sea. But you know, a person with a long face is very difficult to receive blessing. So you must dance. You must be joyful. And then all the bones of your body will be open, and the Holy Spirit can come into you greatly. So let us open our hearts. Enjoy.